Welcome to the Senior Citizens Programme. And in studio we have Connie O'Reilly, a tireless advocate for all sorts of things. And who used to be very, very active in all types of things, community-based. And Connie's going to talk to us about her upbringing. And I believe she came from Navan, which was at one time seemed to be the other end of the earth, but now it's quite near, maybe 3/4 of an hour away, and that type of thing. So we're going to talk to her about what influences our parents had on us. Now, this is one of the programmes that we'll be doing over the next couple of months, in my father's and my mother's time. And what influence your father and mother had, and all sorts of other things like schooling and religion and all sorts of different bits and pieces, and see what influence they, your father and mother had, and maybe your grandfather and your grandmother had on your outcome and what attitudes you would have in the future. And welcome, Connie.
Well, thank you very much, Alston. Thank you for inviting me onto your programme today. And you know, I never ever sat down and put anything together belonging to the family. And we all know what we lose when grandparents pass on. So I was very glad to put my thoughts together while I'm still able to remember. So I was born in Navan, County Meath. Now, we thought that was the centre of the universe, of course. And but it was, now I can go back to my grandmother's and my grandfather's time as well as my parents' time, because Navan was small and families were very supportive of each other. They mightn't have liked each other, but they were very supportive of each other. But Navan now, in my grandparents' time and early in my parents' life, was, you know, at that time, urban Ireland, rural Ireland was, it was a lot of nosiness, judgment. And not a sanctimonious people, to be honest with you, in my early background. Yeah. And but both my parents were born there in Navan. And we were very much influenced by one of my grandmothers in particular. Two totally different people. Grandmothers were not like grandmothers today, often. You know how loving we are, grandparents today. We're great, I think.
Disciplinarians, were they?
Oh, very much so. Because my father's mother came from the north of Ireland. Now, she came from the north of Ireland to Navan because her brother came down. He was, education was very important in the north of Ireland, always.
Well, there's always the nunnery, you see.
Yes.
The Christian Brothers, of course.
And so he came down here as an engineer. Now, at that time, he was a real engineer, not the guy you put on taps today and call themselves engineers, you know.
And well, he's the guy to do it on the ground with paper and pencil. And
yes.
No sticking on computers then, I
can
tell
you. Oh, not at all. Not at all. It was on his head, as far as I could see. But when he came to Navan, anyway, and then he brought down two of his sisters. Now, I don't know why. Could never find out why. But they married two Navan men and became grandmothers themselves there in Navan. But his mother, my father's mother, my paternal grandmother, she was a cold, remote, austere woman. And now she had three sons whom she loved dearly, but she loved her daughters a little bit less. And that was at that time, Austin.
It's a peculiar, like the daughters, sons would be around and be maybe working on the farm or whatever.
Yes, whatever. Yeah.
And of course, the daughters will be, I won't say married off, but would be married and just move away from them.
That is very true. And to be honest with you, we hardly knew her and we only lived five doors away.
Five doors away.
That's shocking. But no, she had no interest in her grandchildren at all. She was just, you know, she used to just sweep past us in this long skirt and cameo brooch in her neck and her hair up in combs. But she no time for us now.
An umbrella.
Oh, I'm sure. Probably. Honestly, I don't know what country she thought she was in, but she was in Navan.
Mary Poppins comes to mind.
Absolutely. Way before her time. Very glamorous woman. And the photographs are still there today. They're nearly fading, but they're still there, you know. But she was a very powerful woman and she had a big reach into all her families, even though she was so remote. Now, we had to get dressed up on a Saturday afternoon in our Sunday clothes, as there was that time.
Yeah.
5 doors away, Austin. We'd go down, sit there on hard stools to be ignored. terrible practice.
To be ignored.
To be ignored.
admired in your Sunday garb or whatever it is. Well, usually only had two sets of clothes, and they workday clothes and workday
and the
shoes
Sundays.
And
yes.
Sunday clothes.
Yes. And you'd always make tea for my father and have nice things for him. But we never got any of it at all.
No, you didn't get any biscuits or nothing.
No, didn't even get a bit of bread and jam, not at all. And then we'd be marched home 5 doors away, took off the good Sunday clothes, of course. And this went on for years and years until we all got sense, you know.
Yeah. And you wouldn't be playing out in the street or at the hoopla or something like that in your good clothes.
Oh, no. Oh, no, no, no. We were lucky to have them. And those of us who really had a choice of them usually had a grand aunt in the family who could sew. People could sew and knit in that time.
And make dresses and all
Yes,
sorts of
and
things.
Used to turn coats when they get a bit worn, unpick them and sew them up again and cut them down, you know.
And of course, you know, that clothes at that time, they were expensive and they had to last.
They had to last and hand it down.
Oh, yeah, well,
very
that
much
was
handed down. Very much handed down.
And, which was sometimes totally resented by the.
Oh. I was the eldest, recipients. I was all right. I was the only girl and I was the eldest, so I was all right.
You were top
I
of the heap.
Oh, I was top of the heap, believe me. And but any love we got as children. It was different times. We got them from my mother's family. Mm-hmm. They were loving, warm people. And I idolised the three of us, myself and my two brothers, and spent every penny they had on us, you know. And we
and the pennies were very short.
They were very scarce and hard earned us, I can tell you that. But those people, like I always consider I came from, now I'm not thrifty, but I should be thrifty, because I came from a very thrifty background. Mm. People baked, they made their own jams, they lived out of their gardens, they could all grow vegetables. It might be very exotic.
They had to. It was not for a hobby that were growing vegetables.
It was not. And they were generous people, those of the neighbours now who mightn't be into gardening kind of thing. They fed half the town.
Yeah.
They were great sharing people.
Well, of course, that was society at the time. They were both have-nots anyway.
Well, nobody had very much at that time in Navan, you know. But it was an interesting time for women. It was a hard time. I think women had a very hard time because now they never had complained of boredom. You never in your life heard that from your grandparents or your parents, that they were bored, ever. Their days were busy.
Yeah.
In surviving.
Did reading play a huge part in your life?
They did. They did.
Well, the library, the local library, wherever it was visited every whatever day, Saturday or whatever day.
And it was there at that time. It's a long time there. But women seem to occupy themselves now, speaking for my observation of Navan. Like, houses were very clean. They're always cleaning. Hmm? Always cleaning the houses. And great competition, of course. Everybody had a dresser. And the more, what do you call them plates? The willowy pattern plates. Egg cups were big time, you know.
And it would be the Welsh type dresser.
Oh, yes, yes. And every house had that, you know.
Yeah, and all the cupboard hooks. And
yes, and the cups hanging. And never used, only for the visitors, of course, you know.
Yeah. But you've got mugs after that.
Look, it probably cracked and everything. Probably, the truth was told, you know. But they were always cleaning. It was always a ritual, great competition. Windowsills were scrubbed. Brass knockers polished to an inch of their life.
And the door steps scrubbed
to death. And that was a ritual every Saturday morning. Even if it was raining, you were sent out to scrub.
Scrub the step.
Bloody windows, and step, you know. But it was only girls, Austin. My two brothers never had to do that.
Oh, no.
Never.
They had to be subservient to women. Definitely.
Yeah.
Well, of course, that was the attitude at the time. And we will develop something from that, I can tell you.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's no wonder I detest housework. Oh, Lord, I hate housework. And I put it back to those days of all the scrubbing I did on the windowsills and the steps.
Yeah.
I really do. Hate it. But anyway, it was a time. Now, Navan was lucky, Austin, because it being the capital, God between us and all harm, of County Meath. It was there was no Angela's Ashes now very much in Navan. There was no Angela's Ashes now.
But that was Limerick, of course.
Yeah.
I remember some of that.
Navan was lucky because there was great employment.
Well, there was cattle marks there.
There were.
And I can't remember what else.
There were, Austin.
And it was Was it a furniture company?
It was famous for its furniture. It was. And now, the other two towns, Kells and Trim, by comparison, they had no employment to talk about. It seems to be all centred on Navan. And at that time, like in my grandparents' time, I remember in my father's time too, every man had a job in Navan. Might be a great job, but had a little job. But then you see, there's no social welfare as such. You know, you just had to go out and earn a few shillings.
Yeah, and the shillings were very sparse and... you know, if you might be, and your father's time, it might be £2.50 a week.
Oh,
or
at the height of it, at the height of it, Alston. But you see, Navan carpets were there forever, and they gave great employment, you know. And then there was bakery, big bakery, who supplied all of County Meath. Now, when I say that, this was only the people now who could afford to buy bread. You know, there weren't that many at the time. Most people baked.
But they had to, and flour was...
Yes.
And some people be trying to outdo other people with different types of bread. And
absolutely.
Cakes. Oh, not cakes,
few, but anyone got their hands on a few sultanas. God, they were big shots, you know, really and truly. And I'll tell you what was there at the time, too. There was a newspaper planned. The Meat Chronicle was there.
Yeah.
That gave good employment for many years. And very skilled. And then there was the Central Post Office. Now, the postmaster was God at that time. He was an important man in the town of Navan. He really was.
Priest.
Oh, yeah.
They were the other pedestal somewhere.
But do you know what we had, Austin? We had a train station in Navan at that time. A train station. Could you believe that now?
Yeah.
And that not that we were ever on it very much, but it seemed to be always running up and down from one place to another. And we had two hospitals. Two functioning hospitals. One was the Navan Hospital, which is still there now.
And the infirmary.
And the old infirmary.
Yeah.
And they functioned very well. And then there was a dispensary. And we had a vet in the town. Would you believe it? With four doctors.
Of course, there was quite a lot of cattle around.
There were. That was a good living. Very good living. He was a big shot in the town, the vet.
Oh, yeah.
You can imagine.
He had the suit.
Oh, he had. Oh, he had big steps up to his house and... Of course, never looked at the rest of us who didn't have...
Of course, the suit might last for 40 years, but...
Do you know, it probably did, like the doctors. You're dead right, Austin. And with four doctors. Imagine four doctors in Navan.
Well, four doctors,
that was a lot of doctors.
That's if we could afford to go to one.
But do you know what we also had? We had a guard station. And there were five or six guards in it. And what they were doing is a mystery to everybody. Because at that time...
people with no lights on their bike.
It had to be. Because there was no crime. Because nobody did anything that was worth taking from each other. There were no cars, so no car crashes. So maybe you're right. Maybe that's what they were doing.
Oh, yeah. And looking for dog licences and all that type of thing.
Well, that's probably true. But no, I don't think we were that posh. No, we didn't licence our dogs, no. No, the poor old dogs were lucky to be reared, so they were.
And well, they could see that a huge amount of other business administration work to do.
Well, I don't know what it was.
With regard population and census.
Probably that kind of thing, wandering around the town. Yeah, probably. And I tell you, we're very well catered for it in sport. We'd Park Tolchin, and that's still there in Navan. The sports ground is still there in Navan.
Oh, yes, yeah, GAA.
That was there at the time. And that gave a lot of work now to the groundsmen. You know, there was plenty of employment there for groundsmen to just... They kept it very well and was used. It was well used, you know.
And, of course, it was great in pride in the county team.
Oh, yes, yes.
And all the other little bits of clubs that is fed into it. And, of course, if you got on the county team...
Oh, that was big time. That was big time. And they were always the men you wanted to marry when we were young. They were the guys we all wanted to marry.
Oh, no, we don't want to hear anything about that now.
The stars. Oh, they were the stars of the county, you know. But I tell you what we had, too. We had a library. Now, it wasn't open every day. But by golly, we had to join the library at 3, you know.
Yeah.
And they had books, suitable books. And most people in the town now went to the library. But mainly grandparents, they were great readers. And these people had very little education, really, Austin.
Possibly a little bit earlier than you're talking about. Quite a lot of people couldn't read and write.
There were a lot of people.
Numeracy was another big problem for some people anyway, and others could tell you anything you wanted, particularly if they were back on horses.
Oh, yes. I don't remember much of that, Austin, funnily enough. I don't remember much of that in Navan. maybe it was there, maybe it passed over my head. But we had a large sawmills. Now, that gave a lot of employment to men. Yeah. That really
Everything
did.
Was labour intensive.
It was. It was. And would you believe we had a cinema? Now, in my parents' time.
Oh.
Now, whoever had the money to go to the cinema, I do not know. It wasn't us anyway. So it must have been empty half the time. Mm-hmm. It must have been.
Oh, so dear me, that's a bit of the devil's emporium.
Yeah.
Sometimes people thought the cinema, your mind will be warped.
True. That was very true, Austin, yeah. But I tell you, there's a lot of farming work outside the town. And would you believe there was a lot of horse breeding. Now, not racing horses, work horses.
Oh, work horses, yeah. Well, of course, everything.
Everything depended on it.
Depend on horses, yeah.
It did.
Yeah.
And because the whole commercial life in Navan, I mean, the horses did everything, as well as out on the farms, you know.
Well, they're doing the ploughing and the pulling the milk carts and they're doing anything you mentioned.
And then they moved. Was moved by a horse, and even in my time, my early days there, I remember that so well. And then, of course, you know, the gentry, of course, they had the horse traps, what do you call them, pony and traps kind of thing, you know. So that was a great industry in Navan now. And it was good work. It was well paid, would you believe, at the time. Yeah. Maybe it was very hard work, you know. But my memory would be, and I think this would be very true of Navan, furniture. Was the mecca for furniture.
Well, it's still there,
isn't
it? It's
still there.
That 1933 furniture company or whatever they got.
That is still there, and that gave tremendous lot of work now. And especially boys left school very young at the time, maybe 12, and got a trade in there. And, you know, carried them through life because they became great craftsmen. But as well as that, like, nearly every little house had a shed at the back, and men would make frames and polish furniture, and if the wives were handy, they would sew the cushions. And these big factories, furniture factory in Navan, that was Hogs we're talking about now, they would buy them from the local men. So it was a wonderful...
It was a network.
It was. It was. It really was.
And you say, making furniture, it's not a one trade type of thing. They had to make the wood, you know, had to turn the wood and everything, and then put all the upholstery in it and make everything gorgeous, lovely.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
Then that might have to do you for another 50 years.
Oh, forever. If you're allowed to sit in it half the time. In our house anyway. We'd sit in the hard chairs. But do you know, now this is what I think was interesting to look back on all that. At that time, all these things I mentioned, all these jobs, Austin, they were really men-only jobs. There was really no employment for women.
Well, there was if you went to be a servant somewhere up in Dublin. In service. Maids or whatever.
Exactly, maids.
And maybe the odd hotel would have maids
right.
as well.
That is true. Yeah. But at that time, now, honestly, this is the way I view it anyway. I think at that time, 50% of Ireland's population was at the beck and call, the other 50%. Mm. There was the divide, men and women, you know, but the men had the jobs.
Always, the population was always about equal.
It wasn't equal then.
Today,
but it wasn't equal then, Austin, because...
Yeah. No, but I mean equal in number.
Yes, yes. But true, it was strictly equal at that time, I can tell you. But men played a very small part in rearing their families at that time. Very small part.
Pushing a pram. What do you expect me to be doing?
Yes.
Pushing a pram.
Exactly. And was really left to the women, and to the maternal side of the family seemed to play a big part in our generation, you know.
And of course, the husband or the father or whatever, he would be his local visit to the local pub.
You're dead right, Austin.
And whether it was a Wednesday night, well, it was usually a Saturday, I think, because they'd only have maybe two or three shillings if they had that much.
But they had to be seen to have it, Austin. You see, they had to go to the pub.
You met your friends
to be seen to have a few bobs, you know. Yeah. But I remember, when I was growing up, I remember so many families, and the husbands, Saturday was payday in Navan, I don't know why, but it was. And the husbands would come in and they would decide like how much was going to be for the housekeeping. And we'd put behind the clock. And I know many, many women who never knew what their husbands earned. Would you believe that? But they always had the funeral for the pub, you see. That too. Oh, well, seen there.
Of course, that was a requisite that applied to the male dominant figure.
Absolutely. Yeah. But it was a very, you know, I wouldn't have liked to have been a woman at that time, to be honest with you. It was very...
They were subservient.
Very subservient.
Now, and then the other end of it is religion. But the nunnery, but it was probably, you went to the local school till you were whatever age, and then you went to the convent to get educated. Now, we haven't said that they did educate people, but there was a certain aspect to that education. And we have a break now in a minute or two, and we'll get into all that after the break, right? And its effect to this very day.
Great, right? Oscar, thank you.
Yeah, and the weather, there's something you're going. What did you like? Everybody thought back then when they were young, every day was sunny.
Well, I would say the same.
Yeah, every day was sunny. But of course, the weather was as bad then as it is now.
It always seemed good enough to go out and play every day.
And what sort of games did you play? Hopscotch.
Yes, bit of chalk if we're lucky enough to have a to mark out hopscotch.
And a tin can and whatever it was.
And a bowl, a little tennis ball, a little bowl if you were very lucky. But there was nothing. We played in our minds. We used our imagination.
Definitely. And every now and then a new game would come up.
Absolutely. Just chasing each other.
There was people trying to bring them back now. I remember doing something. They were trying to bring those games back, but the computer now, of course, is
a dead last night to drive.
And
dead horse to flog now.
Yeah, and the telephone at the time, and because at that time, if you had the telephone, you had to ring the local post office or whatever, and then the girl then there would be putting you through to the exchange somewhere else, and you might get through to whoever you were ringing. But it'd be only in an emergency, during an emergency as such. Now, we're going to go musical, and you know, in days gone by, I won't say how long ago, but in days gone by, there was the Saturday night hop. But the hop mightn't be a hop at all. It might be Cayley music, and they might be playing all sorts of things, and the walls of Limerick and Umpty, and that was, you'd be exhausted again. The dance was over. You'd be hardly able to stand up with exhaustion. And, we were talking about music, and the girls all sitting in the left-hand side of the room, and the boys on the right. And the parish people might be looking down in the middle, and the eye could be hopping around here, there and everywhere. Now, was that your experience?
Well, we had a gramophone. My grandparents had a gramophone.
One of them windy-up ones?
Yeah. And, you know, the big LPs, not weren't LPs, big records. And if you looked at them, they cracked and broke. That's what they're called. Yeah. And they were always breaking. They were like Bakelite things, you know?
Yeah, they were made of wax.
What? Was that what they were?
Well, then I think the vinyl came along, which is coming back, I believe. But
oh, it is. It is big time, I think. But we had a gramophone. And now, where we ever had the money, my grandparents, my maternal grandparents, where they ever got the money to buy these, I do not know. But, we were reared on John McCormick, Margaret Burke Sheridan, Joseph Locke. Now, we thought this was terrible. I mean, if you did that to kids today, they'd look for counselling. They would. Yeah. We just had to sit on a Sunday night and listen to all this. And it's only now, of course, we appreciate it. But a lot of the neighbours used to come in, and they'd all listen to the same, maybe half a dozen only records they had. They didn't have a big collection now.
And little cardboard sleeves.
Yes. And so they'd come in and they'd listen to all that. And then they had a radio, a big monstrosity of a thing. And people used to come in to hear the news at 6, those who didn't have radios around. And Sunday afternoon was always a full house for the football.
Football, yeah. And I know people that they didn't have electricity, and they used to be getting the batteries done up charged up for the Sunday match, and that's the only time it'll be used, maybe once or twice for like you the news.
That's right.
See what was going on in the world.
Yes. And I mean, men used to come in from outside Navan into my grandparents there, and on a Sunday afternoon, and they'd always come in with, they always seemed to have apple trees all over the place, yeah. And they'd always come in with loads of cooking apples, yes, you know, yeah. Big thing to get at the time. And they'd listen to it, and then and then after that they'd have tea, and now it might be only homemade bread, you know, yeah. but it'd be nice anyway, yeah. Says you. And then after that, it was really kind of a Cayley house, a very open-hearted house. Yeah. And then in the evening time, an awful lot of... Now, I always found this very interesting, Austin. A lot of people used to come up to my grand-aunt, and they just couldn't read or write, but they had families, sisters who'd gone to England to work as maids, yeah. At the time. And these women who were in England, they would get their landlady, maybe, to write a letter, and that would come to Navan. And then the mother and the sisters couldn't read and write at the time, and they'd come up to my grand-aunt, and she'd read it to them. Mm. Now, and it would often be very basic. Every letter was the same, to be honest, yeah. With you. But there was always a great exaggeration as to how well they were doing.
Well, that
you know, the time proved it otherwise, yeah. But that's the way it was.
Green hills are further away,
exactly. So we had visions of them all having a wonderful life in London, yeah. You know, and
no mention of the grim fogs or the smog that was killing people day and night.
No, that was part of the excitement. In our view, we thought that was great, you know. But then my grand-aunt would write back. And this letter would be dictated to her by, you know, the recipient, yeah. Of the letter. And she wouldn't be anything to tell them, really, about except who died.
Well that was the regular thing.
But that was all.
And just to remind you, Paddy Joe died of age 94,
yes.
Or something.
Yes.
And his funeral was 2 months ago.
Well, that is very true. So that was kind of the life. And the music then, like, they would decide to have... Irish dancing, Cayley dancing, that kind of thing. And there was always somebody in the town who could play a melodeon. That's what it's called, I think, yeah. Mm. And, no, we thought he was great. But he could come and knock out a few tunes and dress up, push back. We know carpets to roll up now, Austin. Mm. We were dancing on the bare floor.
Yeah.
The dresser moved, the chairs moved, tables moved. Oh, my God, it was a penance because if you moved out a step, you know, they took it very seriously. But that was their entertainment.
Yeah.
And anyone who could sing at all sang. And I tell you, there was great encouragement in Navan in that line of drama and music. And that's a long time ago. I'm talking about my parents' time. There was a drama group in Navan, the Navan Pioneer Players. Mm. They went down way after my time. And there was also a musical society, the Pioneer Musical Society.
That probably was part of the choir as well.
It was. That, yeah. So that was great. That was a great outlet and a bit of culture. It was the only bit there was in the town, probably.
Yeah.
But that was great to join some of those things, and it nurtured people.
Mm.
And it gave them an outlet from the drudgery of everyday life, yeah. Which was drudgery. Most people's, yeah. Life was very regimental, yeah. Went to work, you know, and cleaned the house and did, yeah. The shopping, cooked the dinner and washed the clothes, and that was it.
It just kept rotating and rotating and rotating. No break.
There's no excitement. Mm-hmm. There's no excitement. And I never remember excitement in Avon in my time.
Did you have bicycles?
Well, as kids, we did, because with these adoring grandparents on my mother's side, and they always saved the whole year to buy myself and my brother bicycle, three-wheel bicycles. So we were lucky.
Yeah, well, you were mobile.
We were, but it wasn't the norm, not at all. And books were always encouraged. There'd always be a storybook at Christmas, and that was, we knew it off by heart in a week because of red and red
and
toes.
Orange.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Or the rubber ball.
Oh, that was a big thing to have, yeah. And boys with cowboy suits, and that progressed, yeah. To that, you know, simple things. But you got one decent thing, and that's all.
Oh, that was it.
You know, that was it. That was for the year. That, yeah. Was meant to last you to play with for the whole year, you know. But, there were good times, but the town was very much ruled by the church and the state.
Well, I'm coming to that now. With education, like the nuns, the Christian brothers.
It was a great town for that.
And that's where you went after you bought a babies or whatever, you primary school, I don't know what you called it then. And you ended up there anyway, and you were regimented there, I can tell you. But then, having said that, the classes were huge.
They were.
Maybe 50 in a class, and to keep law and order, but there was only one way, a good belt in the ear.
True. Yeah. Corporal punishment, the answer to everything at that time, it was.
And it almost seemed to me that there was always a program there, you know. Mm. The whole idea was to get control.
Yes.
Over the entire strata society, from the top down to the very bottom. This was your place in life. And this is what you had to do. And you dare be seen out someplace at night, or the rumour mill would get ginormous. And it contained a table of people's ambition but to move forward. That's why quite a lot of people had to go to England or Scotland or America or anywhere, and to broaden their horizon. Your horizon was sort of picked out for you since the day you were born.
You're so right. That was small town Ireland at that time, Austin.
At that time. And religion now, you know, the religion, you had to attend sociality, whatever there was. If it was a retreat, you daren't be seen not to be at it, you know. And lots of people sort of resented that. And of course, they couldn't express that resentment, you know.
No, nobody was interested in your opinion at the time.
The devil's spawn, if you, you know, if he says that. Now, that brings us back to the Magdalen Laundries and the other side of things, you know.
Well, there was a similar one in Avon at the time.
Yeah.
And nobody talked about it. Everyone knew it wasn't right. Things weren't right there, but nobody spoke about it. Nobody stood up for them, Austin.
Oh,
to my great shame today.
Putting manners on you for the rest of your life, type of thing.
They're an example to be good.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Really?
You'll end up in our town, I'm telling you, boy.
Yes.
Whatever it was, the local one was. And you know, this type of thing, and everybody had to know their place in society.
But you know, Navan was good, Austin, because I tell you why. It was the Diocesan Centre, and their school was there, a classical school. Now, only the big shots went to it. There were scholarships. An uncle of mine got a scholarship to Fenians in Mullingar, and that was the big thing now in the family to get that, you know. And he became county manager of Donegal, and that was a huge thing for us now at the time. But Navan had a lot of schools. There was the Loretto, there was Mercy, and there was St Patrick's Classical School. There was the De La Salle.
Yeah.
And there was a technical school. So there's
a
the big range.
Technical school now, they were the manual teaching that was, whether it was woodwork or metalwork, it was usually limited.
It was, Austin. But I tell you, it was the most useful, in my opinion. I went to Loretto. And went to the national school, then the secondary school. And all the secondary schools at the time were fee-paying. They all had boarders, and I was only a day pupil. But there was enough last snobbery attached to it. And to be honest with you, I reckon I learned nothing much. A bit of music and ballet and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But those who went to the technical school come out with something worthwhile.
Yeah, they were able to do things.
They did.
I mean, if you were watching ballet, where were you going to get some ballet
school?
That's
why I got so not far in life, Austin, because that's
all the kind of thing. Well, if you're learning how to play the piano, at least you could make a living playing in some band or something.
That was only now for the big shots. The doctor's daughters learned the piano with the nuns. Yeah, nuns are very snobby.
That's my experience. I won't get into that too much.
No.
Well, but you know, I think they were the product of their own demise.
Well, that's true. That is true.
And it's the same, like, if you were going to the nuns now, lots of people would say, I'm not there. What am I wrong? But they're not there anyway.
They're not there. No.
But then there was another aspect of that. They provided education, which was free.
They did, up to primary level.
Yeah,
they did.
Which was free. Mm. And like I say, the range of classes and knowledge was confined to one aspect that had a religious aspect.
Yes.
Sort of putting a control on people. not to step out of line. Now, so that's become some cases. It's going to be very good.
Some of them were very cultivated women.
They
really were. Now, what kind of families they came from? Well, you could nearly judge it by how cultivated they were.
The vast majority of them came from well-to-do families.
Yes.
Well-to-do. Some of them very well-to-do families.
Yes.
And they were usually well-educated before they got in. Well, of course, there was people that was in the nunnery from day one and became nuns.
Yes.
But they were always usually shifted down to the tail end. There was a pecking order.
A lay sister.
What?
A lay sister. And she did the dairy work and she did the cooking.
Scrubbing them windowsills as well.
That's very true. Yeah. But I tell you, there was a big parochial house in Navan at the time too. And now, in my day, there were 9 priests in it. Now, what they were ever doing was always a mystery to most of us.
Well, just outside Navan, wasn't it? There was a huge, big college that used to
Dalgan Park?
Yeah, they send the missionaries.
That's right.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a religious sort of a town in that sense. But you're so right about women. Like, they just had to join the Sodality. And do you remember that? It used to wear cloaks and veils. Children of Mary, is that what they were called?
Yeah. And then
parading around the town every time.
With the veils and all
that's
that.
That's true.
Yeah.
Every procession could
May
bring
Day,
in some
May Day,
saint.
That was, it would come to me.
And we always they always had to have altars in their homes. I remember we'd statues as big as a man. And the flowers, I've had a few flowers, wild flowers mainly, but they were, and that practice went on. But women were very structured that way and they were the ones responsible for saying the family rosary. And the nuns kept great tabs on these women. They're going every week back for meetings and all this kind of thing,
And the same with the Christian Brothers.
Yes.
It may not be Christian, but it could be the De La Salle.
The De La Salle was in Navan. Yes.
But they're more or less all one ilk anyway.
But the clergy played no part in life in Navan. The clergy, those priests there, they never became involved in the parishes, as in the parish of Navan or wherever they were doing. It was a mystery to all of us.
But they were upon the strings.
They were. They were. But I tell you one terrible practice I had, and this went on in my parents' day, Austin. I went on in my day. Easter and Christmas, there was these Jews. And it was read out on the altar, starting with who the doctor gave the most and the solicitor and that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Read out, went to every terrace in the town and read out what people gave. Now, a lot of people couldn't give anything. And the shame of not being able to give one shilling was shocking.
That practice went on right across Ireland.
Did it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I thought it was only there. And it was even got worse. If somebody died and you went to the funeral and the priest would be there. Everyone had to leave the seat and walk up. And the undertaker would always be standing beside the priest. And he was the only one who knew. The priest didn't know anyone. They didn't bother knowing any of us. But the undertaker knew everyone because he was a local man and he might have owned a pub or something. And he used to stand there and he used to say, John Smith, 5 shillings. Morphy, 3 shillings.
And if you gave for John Morphy, John Morphy's parents would be, or relatives would be, give the same amount.
Wasn't that terrible, Austin? That went on in my time.
That went on quite a lot in Ireland. And I remember in different places, in Offaly, the same thing.
Really?
And I remember in Naas one time, we were coming back, we went to Mass, the priest was reading out, John so-and-so gave 5 shillings and it always went from the top to the bottom, not from the bottom to the top.
No. But that was terrible because people did have a great sense of respect in going to funerals and they wanted to go, but they could ill afford all these little donations. You know, they went straight to the church. So when the church stopped ruling us all down there, the state took over.
Yeah.
Because it was the centre for Meath County Council. And that was where it was centre. Still is there.
Yeah.
Meath County Council, still based in Navan. And politics at that level was really only for people who had ambition and well-to-do people. There was an urban council. And that was the one where people had their power and their say in the urban council.
And the town councils and all that.
Yes.
But they're all gone, of course.
They're all gone. But I tell you, my father was chairman of Meath County Council for 30 years. And it was carried by the rates. The rates the farmers paid.
Yeah.
And I remember...
And that was struck every year.
Yes.
The rates.
And I remember I always had a summer job in Meath County Council. I used to get these ledgers and you had to transfer onto a form how many acres all the farmers had and work out, I think it was called a moiety or something more like that. And we had to put them into envelopes and send them off. And then they come back in a few weeks later. And that was the money that did provide housing. Housing in Navan was very good at that time, Austin, because the money was there for it.
Yeah.
And Navan Urban Council were very, very instrumental in getting that off the ground and keeping that going.
Yeah,
and you could choose the house, Austin, where you wanted to live. And it was, you could live beside your neighbours or your family, whoever you wanted to.
So 5 doors away.
Exactly. Everyone lived like that. But I tell you, it changed because, now, there was nothing else in Navan at the time, only council houses. Everybody lived in a council house. But then they started building a bit outside the town, you know, a fleet of houses, a scheme of houses, and they started putting different categories of people into it.
Hmm.
And that created a bit of snobbery. Snobbery really came into Navan at that stage.
If you had the money to buy
it. No, they weren't buying it, but they forgot that they were just living in council houses like the rest of us.
Yeah.
So it changed that time, Navan.
Of course, Navan now is gone.
Unknowable. Unknowable to me, Austin. It really is.
And I mean, you're talking a niche in time.
Yes. Yes.
And. You probably knew everybody by sight, if you didn't.
Oh, we knew. We knew all the business. We knew all the business, not just we knew them by sight. We knew. Everyone knew each other's business.
And of course, that get expanded on. And, you know, there would be all sorts of stipulations, I think, and this type of innuendo. And
yes. There's nothing else for women to do. Because, you know, they used to go down the town 3 times a day. Because there are no fridges, Austin, in the houses.
Well, yeah.
So all the women had to go down every morning to the butcher's and have a little gossip on the way and back, go back home, cook the dinner. And like the Healy Rays, we all had our dinner at dinner time.
Yeah.
At that time, the men come home from the factories and the mills. Kids were home from school at that time. And then wash up, and that was it. And then the women would have to go back down the town again to get something for the tea.
Yeah.
It might be only eggs and cheese, and I wouldn't be anything elaborate. And, but to do that and come back home. I remember we having this kind of a thing with holes in it. What would you call it? To keep the flies out.
There was a little mesh.
Yeah.
A box on the wall outside.
Yeah.
With this tiny mesh that, like a little sieve. I said the flies couldn't get in.
The flies couldn't get into it. Now that'll tell you.
Oh, but they all had them.
No, a lot of them didn't. A lot of people didn't. I don't know where we ever got it, to be honest with you. No, I'm sure it didn't work. But they spent their time washing. Women were always washing. Monday morning, the washing had to be done. Hail, rain and snow, Austin. And then, what do you think happened after that? Hope that's not my phone, Austin. The washing was done. The clothes were put in the line. How they ever got them dry is a mystery. To me, and I think half the time we were all going around in damp clothes, because I don't know how they ever got clothes dry. I'm really sorry for that, Austin. That was my phone. I forgot to turn it off. I'm really sorry. And I usually don't forget that.
Austin,
I would not have liked to be a woman in my mother's or grandmother's time.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
That's my summation of my life in Navan.
Well, now we just jump a little bit forward.
Yeah.
Your mother's time.
Mm.
To your time and progress, maybe of daughters, or I don't know.
I have two sons, yes.
Well, what influence did your mother's time have on this time, the minutes we're here at the moment? Did it have any impact, or it was just, there was a quantum leap and all that was forgotten about?
No, it wasn't, Austin. Education was a huge value going back to my grandparents' time. Now, a lot of people in Navan had ambitions. You know, they did want education for their sons and daughters.
Well, you turned out to, it's a three film stars.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And so education was important. Education, my father was so interested in education for us. And it was a bit unusual even in my day, because boys weren't really educated. Our boys were educated, girls weren't. But so I went to the convent and... But I can see an awful lot of myself when I was rearing my own children. Like the values, like respect, courtesy. Yeah. They're the things you and me, Austin, tried to instill into our families. And education.
Yeah. And civility.
Yes, absolutely. And just be good and be kind and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And well, I hope I've brought those values forward with me, Austin, into my family.
Yeah, well, of course, the tools we were talking about back then. I have it in my pocket now. Well, it's on the table now.
My phone going off. And, I'm so sorry.
Those aspects now are educating the people at the moment. But of course, I'm like a person with pigeon post. And, you know, some of the stuff you get text, you wouldn't even read it. What the devil is that?
I know.
You we is for we you, it's not with Y-O-U. Four is for four.
Yeah, but we got there, Alistair, got there. And, I can see in my sons, I can see an awful lot of my father especially kind of thing. Like, they're rearing their children as... More or less, as they were reared themselves, with the way I was reared. And
of course, they have a lot more.
Oh, it's easier.
Easier, but then again...
And they're richer.
Then again, you have to earn it to make it easier. Yes. And that's the same thing. Yes. You have to work hard.
Yes.
And, of course, now with housing and all sorts I'm not going there.
No, we won't, Austin. No.
Be expletives.
But look, we did our best, Austin. From the generations we came from, the likes of me and you, we did our best.
They were the people who inspired brought us, this generation and the generation before.
And we weren't we're not all that bad. We're good.
Yeah.
Still good people, that generation.
Yeah, and that was religion. But now, they were saying that... Did you have a cinema in the town?
Oh, we did. But I couldn't tell you anything about it. We never had the money to go to it.
Yeah.
But it must have been empty half the time,
of course,
to be honest with you.
Every town had maybe two cinemas, three cinemas some places, and all sorts of things. Now, your grandfathers and grandmothers, did they have electricity?
We did, because it was urban.
Yeah.
Urban.
Yeah.
And they were the first to get it. And Navan was a good town for that kind of thing to advance itself.
We had good councillors and good councillors.
We had?
Yeah, who fought for everything, and...
And got it for us,
they did. And when they got it, they made sure they maintained it as such. And... I think we're nearly coming to the end. We haven't even started coming to the end.
We're exhausted, Austin, so we are.
Connie will be in and lots of future bits and pieces. That's bygone days and all that, but I was going to ask you about maybe World War One. Did it have effect on... And would your that'd be your
wasn't talked about. Wasn't talked about much. Wasn't talked about much.
Because
the photographs are there to prove
40, it. 40,000 people from Ireland got killed and 140,000 injured. But as such,
it's another subject.
History, but we're going back to history again. And that note now, I think we will give it a miss, but we'll be back to it. Sorry, Anna. Thank you very much, Connie, for coming in.
My great pleasure, Austin. Thank you for having me.